As described in a paper published in the April 23rd edition of PLOS ONE, research scientist Tanya Wojcie and her colleagues at the Department of Energy Joint Genome Institute in Walnut Creek, California, used single-cell genome sequencing to assemble draft genomes of marine microorganisms being studied by collaborators in Maine. Wojcie stepped out of the lab for a few minutes to talk about the technique itself and how it was applied to the bacteria sequenced. She also discussed how it might be used for microbial communities in other environments. The first question I have is, what exactly did you do?
To put it in very simple words of what we did is we took single cells from the environment and then we amplified their genome to obtain high yields of DNA that could then be used for shotgun sequencing. If you look at all the genomes that have been sequenced to date, most of them are derived from, you know, cultures, from organisms that have been brought in culture. But the problem that we have in environmental microbiology is that a lot of these microbes that are out there that we're highly interested in, they are uncultured. And we estimate, you know, roughly, we can say 99.9% of the microbes that exist on this planet currently elude the culturing methods that we have. So we really can't grow them. However, they are really interesting to us, you know, genetically, they break down compounds that we're interested in breaking down and such. But if we can't grow them, we really don't have access to study the genetic material. So the power of single cell genomics really is to take this one cell that we can't grow, so we can't produce a lot of DNA by culturing it, we lyse it, and then go in with specific reagents. And the process is called multiple displacement amplification, or MDA. And that process essentially is able to amplify the one, possibly only one copy of the genome that you have and make hundreds, thousands, millions of copies of that genome so that we have enough DNA to essentially sequence it.
This leads to my next question. Why sequence these flavor bacteria?
Okay, that's a good question. So the collaborators that we've been working with at the Bigelow Laboratory for Ocean Science, this is Ramona Stepanauskas and Michael Zeraki, they have been interested in these flower bacteria for quite some time. And in particular, they're interested in flower bacteria that encode proteorhodopsin genes. Proteorhodopsin are light-driven proton pumps. So that was a big interest. So essentially what they did is they picked a panel of single cells, and after the lysis and amplification, they were screened for A, the 16S RNA gene, which essentially gives you the phylogeny or tells you what species are we looking at, and B, for the presence of these proteorhodopsin genes.
And finally, now that you've sequenced flavobacteria, what's next?
Yeah, so we have on the list is the cow rumen project, where we would like to study single cells that encode cellulitic activity. We're interested in the rumen microbial community, and that is being studied here at the JGI already. A spin-off of that would be to use the single cell approach and then pull out microbes that have cellulitic activity. It's a big project. It's a big project because we want to screen thousands of single cells. We have a few projects in the queue. We're working with a lot of collaborators now at the JGI, and some of them have problems to get sufficient DNA of their organism of interest. I think the single cell approach will be a great application for a lot of our users that have problems with accessing their particular genomes of interest. So if they could go the single cell route, I think we can help a lot of them.
That was research scientist Tanya Wojcie talking about single-cell genome sequencing. At the DOE Joint Genome Institute, this is Massey Ballin.